to echo the words of Rav Leib said, it's wonderful to have everybody here. Yisha Kayach. The topic I want to make clear, the topic today is not about Shabbos, Groman Shabbos. I'm not dealing with Groman Shabbos. That deserves its own topic, its own separate shiur at some point in time. We've touched on that before. Number one. Number two, this idea of Groma, what's called a Maisa, what's called a Groma, seems to be a little bit confusing. I mean, like, how can you not be responsible for these type of things? So I want to read you the language of a Rambam, which is not in your, excuse me, is not in your booklet. It's the Rambam in Hilchos Ritzeach, Perek Beis, Halacha Beis. So actually, Halacha Aleph, he says, if a person kills B'yadai directly, he's punished, he in Beis Din. That's capital punishment. A person hires a hitman. A shalach avadov, he sends his servant to Ragu. A shakovsav inichal thnei ari, the Gemara's case where he binds him and places him in front of an ari. V'kiyotzeboy, v'herakto, chayah, the animal kills him. V'chen harigazatza, a person who kills himself. Kolechem me'elu shavik damimhu, the person who does that is a murderer. He has the culpability for doing an aveira of killing somebody. So we're not saying the person who does a grama is not called a ritzeach. There's a fascinating meiri in Baba Kama and Daf Nun Vav. The Gemara goes through scenarios of Nezikin where the Gemara says he's part of b'dinei adam, v'chayv b'dinei shemayim. The Gemara goes through four cases over there. The meiri says Bezdin, it's not actionable in Bezdin. Bezdin cannot make him pay. But it doesn't mean he does not mean that he is not culpable for what he did. He owes the money. If he doesn't pay the money, he's considered a ganef. He's postulatus because he owes the money. Bezdin cannot force it. So once I went to my rebbeim, Shavuot Shlomo, Rafael Yaakov Yisrael Akoyan Ben Bela, when my rebbeim in yeshiva said, so a person who kills begrama goes to the same section of Gehenna as a person who kills directly. The only difference is they turn on the fire through a grama. So that's the point of the Rambam saying. The Rambam is saying but that's not our discussion, but Chazal understood, even though that's true, that the person is doing something which is clearly the same level of aveir as somebody else. The Rambam says, Oman Hariga B'yado, he's called a Ritzeach, etc., etc., etc. Bezdin does not deal with that. So the definition of action in regards to what Bezdin is going to deal with, what's actionable in Bezdin, what's not, is a different definition than what the definition of Ritzicha is. That's why I simply made this conversation about, we're not discussing what's the definition of Maisa, because that might be true in regards to Shabbos and other areas, that's called Maisa. But in regards, our discussion is simply about Nezikin, what's called Maisa. Now the case which started this whole thought process, again, it wasn't a case which was brought to me, but I saw this case, there's a story which happened, and a dying in Eretz Yisrael was dealing with the case. A person had a farm, and he had some problem with wild animals which were coming to the farm on a regular basis, and these animals did not like getting wet. So he put a sensor around the perimeters of the farm, which would sprinkle water, would pour water when it was tripped, and the sensor was based on sound. So when it would hear the sound of the animals going, etc., it would start sprinkling this water, the animals would run away, and that's how he was protecting the borders of his farm. That's how he was protecting the borders of his farm. Okay, meanwhile, somebody else decides to visit near the farm, and he walks near the farm, and he's wearing whatever he's wearing, right? And he makes the sound, the water sprinkles all over his, and it damages his suit and his hat. Does he have to pay for the damages that the machine, which was tripped by sound, does the owner of the machine have to pay for the damages which his machine did, which was tripped by, it was the machine was turned on, the sensor was a sound sensor, it sensed. So that's how the story started. And so that was where the question started. And then from there, the question goes to many other areas. Say, please, no greeting on the show. Okay. Now, there might be other considerations over there as well, but that open this conversation. What's the definition of your maisa, your mammon, etc.? Who did that action over there? Did the person who asked you to walk by and trip it? You made the step. You did it. It's my machine which did it. That was part of the question. So I decided to make the learning section of it, but what we're doing, not on that case specifically, but on the general concept of grama, the concept of grama. So in your booklet, on page 3, so we said very clearly that grama and nizikin is not permitted. We're not discussing being permitted to do this. We're not allowed to damage somebody through grama. That's not the question. The question is, regards to culpability, whether it's actionable bezdin, that's the question. Whether you're chayiv and bezdin or not. Now, Chazal go through many different types of definitions of what's called grama. I listed various different examples. The example which you start the booklet with is the example of mitzamsim, where you're confining a person or you're maintaining the person in a negative situation. Rashi seems to say that you have to actually physically hold on to the person to be considered mitzamsim. The Rambam does not learn like that. The Rambam learns mitzamsim even if you're not physically touching him, just maintaining him in the situation. Example is the person gave. A person's in a room which is dangerous for him. There's gas there which is not healthy, etc. And he wants to leave, and I stand by the door with some type of a weapon which does not allow him to leave. That's a form of mitzamsim according to some poskim. I'm not touching the person. I'm not doing anything to the person at all. I'm just preventing his escape route. I'm removing a protection from somebody. The person's in danger. He has a way to protect himself, and I take that hatsola away. Number 3, there is a potentially dangerous object. The example the Mishnah gives Mibabakama, Nunheima Beis. There's an animal which can go out and damage the door. It's behind the door. I break open the door. Now the animal can wander out and damage. Am I responsible? I caused the damage, but I didn't directly do the damage. Number 4, which is more direct, relevant to where we're getting to, using natural forces irresponsibly, which then damage, lighting a fire, etc. Using natural forces damage unintentionally. And then there's a concept in halacha, number 7, called garmi. So there are scenarios which, even though it's called grama, Chazal said you're going to be chayiv, because that was called garmi, garmei, according to some, the more appropriately dictuk, it might be called garmei, but it's called garmi in yeshivish language, we'll call it garmi. Right? So this concept of the garmi, what defines what garmi is? In certain cases, Chazal said, even though it's a grama, it's going to be chayiv. What are the parameters of that? So that's a lot to cover in the time allotted. Okay. But the first point we want to walk away with is that we see the sugya of mitzamsim, which is the first section you saw in the booklet, is that we can have a situation where theoretically in regards to mitzicha, according to one opinion, this is going to be considered a valid action, and not in regards to nizikin. We've actually paskin that mitzamsim is chayv by nizikin as well. So mitzamsim is considered an action by mitzicha, kal vachomer is considered an action by nizikin. But there's an opinion in the Gemara which says we can split the two. So again, I want you to understand that this concept of the definition of an action is not what we would necessarily call direct or indirect. We're going to have to create parameters which Chazal are giving us. What are their definitions of a valid action to be held responsible? Because we would have said logically, what's the difference between the two? We could have argued logically, both are butter. I didn't really do anything direct. Who said you need direct? But the more it says we need direct, we have a pasuk to tell me mitzamsim, which means confining the person into the situation which is damaging, and the potential, the source of the damage is already there. He's under the water, he's in the burning sun, etc. And confining him to that space, that's called ritzicha, the Gemara says, and according to one opinion, that's considered nizikin as well. I, according to Rashi, I have to physically hold him there, it seems to be. According to Alder Rishon, I do not have to physically hold him there. Just maintaining him in the space is enough to be considered ritzicha. Okay, the Gemara says the case on in Zion of Bays of Zarchetz. So a person shoots at Reuven, shoots an arrow at Shimon. Shimon is safe. He has a shield. He has somebody to block it. Somebody removes the shield. Reuven himself runs and removes the shield. He's very fast. He shoots the arrow, shoots it upwards, right? He has time to run, removes the shield, and Shimon is killed, damaged, etc. Is that considered an action? When he shot the arrow, there was nothing dangerous. He had a shield there. Taking away a shield is called a grama, the Gemara says. So even if it's the same person doing both, you're still going to be potter. Then the worst of the case over here of Kafta Lechavre on page 6 of the, towards the bottom. Kafta Lechavre Va'ashkele Bitka the Maya. So Reuven takes, you know, your picture, you know, they type the damsel in distress, they put her in front of the dam, right? There's no danger there because the dam is there. Then he goes and breaks, smashes open the dam, the water comes and drowns it. So the Mora says he's going to be, it depends if it's Kayak Rishon or Kayak Sheni. Mora says that the first one is Kiri Didei, the second one is Grama Bahama. What defines Karach Rishon and Karach Sheni? So the approach with most poskim use is not like Rashi. Rashi's definition seems to be immediate versus non-immediate, which is that's very hard to define that. The approach of most poskim use is the approach of the Yad Ramah, Rameir Halevi Abu Lefya, who was a contemporary of the time of the Rabbeinu Yonah, etc. The Rabbeinu Yonah, the Rashba, and he has a pirush in Masechta Sanhedrin, Masechta Gittin, Masechta Kedushin. Very, very much quoted in halacha, especially in the areas of Gittin, etc. Very much quoted. One of the basic Rishonim. So the Ramah explains the difference between Karach Rishon and Karach Sheni in the following way. If you picture the dam, you picture right behind the dam, there's a wall of water. Then there's the water upstream, which is slowly moving downstream to create this wall of water. He pulls away the dam, and that wall of water, that first rush of water, that wall of water which is there, goes over the person and drowns him. That's Karach Rishon. That's equivalent in the luck of throwing that wall of water at him. Even though he didn't throw it at him, he took away the wall. But since the water is there, and he took the wall away, that's equivalent of taking that wall of water and throwing it onto the person. So he threw the water on the person, he drowned him. That water didn't kill him, but since he's now underneath that water, and there's the water upstream which continues to flow and to flow, and eventually that water kills him. That water, that's called a grama. The person was safe because there was a blockage, there was a tris. He took away the blockage, and now the case was able to attack and kill the person. The water is like the case, which could not reach him because there was a wall in between, there was a dam in between. He took away that wall, he took away the dam, he took away the shield, the arrow, the water now came and killed the person. So that's called a grama. But if it's the water which is immediately adjacent to the wall, which is there, and he takes that and he throws that onto the person, not by throwing it, but by removing the block. That's called throwing it on the person. That case is going to be chai. The Ramah says then, so if I would have a comparable case to the case of the arrow, it would be in the same situation as that. It would also be chai. So Reuven shoots the arrow. The arrow is over there. The tris is over here. He runs full of the tris. That's not called, that's called grama. The arrow is immediately adjacent to the shield, and he pulls the shield away. That's called throwing the arrow on the person at that moment. Reb Chaim Oizer, in his Tshuva about electricity, uses this Ramah Halakha L'maisa to understand how we look at the flow of electricity when you complete the circuit is considered your Maisa. Electricity is considered, we'll call it, he's talking about electric lights. So it's called Havara on Shabbos. That's, we'll leave that, right? But I didn't like I just flipped the switch, and then the electricity lit the bulb. He says, well, but since the electricity is immediately adjacent and ready to go, I'm not going to get all into the physics right now, please. That's not my appointment. I just want to. He takes this and he says, well, that's considered the equivalent of the case where the case is immediately adjacent. It cannot get there because there was something blocking it, the gap in the circuit. You complete the circuit. And now it's able to go. That's called, it would be the same thing as Bitkanamaya, Karach Rishon. Taking that a step further, I'm baking matzahs. You need the shmoah on matzahs. I want to use machine matzahs. You need lishmo. So no problem. I push the button on the machine, and I think lishmo. Are those matzahs lishmo? So some say yes. The first matzahs, which are baked immediately afterwards, that's like you threw that electricity on there. It's like your maisa, and you had to come out of lishmo. So you made the matzahs lishmo. Because that's your maisa. But that which it continues to work the whole day, that's a grama ba'alma. So you're not considering your maisa. So they're very nice. You're thinking lishmo, but you're not the one who made it. Because my grama is not called maisa. Since it has to be made lishmo, right? So you have to take the sitzes and you have to make them into, not the tying on your, but making the threads, you have to spin them lishmo. So the machine does it. No problem. I turn the machine with lishmo. Is it called your maisa or not? So this is one of the big questions about machine matzahs. Lishmo was this issue of what's called maisa and what's called groma. So this has applications in many other areas other than the zikin, but again, our focus is on the zikin. Okay. Now, the Gemara, in page 7 of your booklet, the Gemara introduces a concept which seems to confuse things. We know that there are many, that besides a person being chayav for damages, which he does himself, a person is chayav for damages that his animal does. The Pasuk, Sukkim, Parshat Mishpatim, say clearly, if a person allows his animal to go out, the animal eats, the owner is responsible. His animal tramples on something and damages it, the owner is responsible. Person digs a bore, somebody falls into it, the owner is responsible. Person lights an ash, lights a fire, and the fire then spreads, and damages, he's responsible. So, let's leave ash for a second. So, how do you understand the din of a shore? The animal damages, right? You own an animal, it's potentially something which can cause damage. The Torah says you're responsible to watch it. You didn't watch it, so that's Makayev you. So the Makayev is, according to many some Rishonim, is because you were negligent in your responsibility to be careful and to watch it, you're Makayev. Now everybody agrees that Nezikin is us. You have to be careful on Nezikin. So I'm responsible not to let my animal damage. That's not the question. Everybody agrees that you have that responsibility. The question is, are you culpable if you didn't? So the Torah says you are. What about, let's say that's one understanding. Let's say by Eish. We get to Eish. So the Mora brings a machloikus about how you understand Eish. So Itmar, page 7. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Eish Mishum Chitza, Reish Lakish Amar Eish Mishum Amoinah. So Reish Lakish says that Eish is a form of Mammon. The same way I have a responsibility to watch my animal, I have a responsibility to watch my Eish, my fire. So it's not my action. I lit a fire. Now the fire is doing it. That's grama. The grama is ikin is potter. Right? I lit a fire. Now the fire went and did damage something. Okay? The Torah says, you're chayiv. Why you're chayiv? It's not your maisa. I dig a bore and now something falls in. That's a grama. That's in the grama godom is there, right? I made a bore and therefore something happened afterwards. I didn't do it directly. But the Torah says, you're chayiv. So the Torah says, you're chayiv for Eish as well. But it's not considered my action. It's considered the same way I'm a chayiv. When my shore does something, it's similar over here. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, ishim ishim chitza. So let's understand what Rabbi Yochanan is saying. So let's go back a step and we say, okay, we're being mekadesh, so there's a concept called grama versus maisa. So what's called maisa? Let's do it step by step. First step, Reuven goes over to Shimon, he punches Shimon and damages him. Right? That's called gufay. He did it with his body. He directly damaged a person. No shayla, that's called his maisa, and he's going to be chayiv. Okay? Reuven takes a rock and throws it at Shimon. It's also chayiv. I didn't do it. The rock did it. My koyach did it. I put energy into the rock, and the rock did it. No, that's called koyachai kegufay. Person's strength, this person's energy, the person's that this which he's created, the ability to cause work to take place, something, the energy to take place, that's called you. Karech like a gufa. Fates. Reuven takes an arrow and shoots it, right? So he takes his bow, he has the string on the bow, he pulls the string back. By doing so, he's putting energy into the string. He affixes an arrow to it. He releases the string. The energy is transferred from the string into the arrow. The arrow flies and damages somebody. Why is it chayiv? Taichai, right? His energy was put into the stream. His energy was then released into the arrow. It's his energy which is flying. What about the following scenario? Reuven goes over to the bow, tightens it very, pulls it back very well, puts the arrow over there, and then Shimon releases it. Shimon knocks it over to the side and releases it. Who's Kayach? It's not Shimon's Kayach, it's Reuven's Kayach. It's Reuven's energy. I ask you, whose energy is in this arrow? It's Reuven's energy. Reuven didn't release it, Shimon released it. The loch is Shimon's Kayach. So why is that? That's not Kayach anymore. So the din of Chetz, Rabbi Yochanan says, tells me a whole new side. The din of Chetz tells me that if there's energy which exists in the Bria, and I masterfully take advantage of it and use it to what I want to accomplish, it's also Kol HaMaaseh. Okay, can we do this with the sequence of events? Person shoots a gun, a regular gun, you know, not an automatic. We'll talk about automatic at a different time, right? So he pulls the hammer back, releases the hammer, it hits the anvil. The anvil makes a spark, it explodes. The gunpowder explodes, pushes the bullet out. The bullet flies and kills somebody. My sir, Grama. I didn't do it. The spark did it, which made the gunpowder explode, which made the bullet fly, which made the kill the guy. Like, you know, and that's like four steps removed from me. Nobody says that. It means, but once you have a system in place, which even if it's multiple steps, which this is how you can take advantage of this energy, is called your mice. So as Rabbi Yochanan says, I look at the din of Chitzav, and I see that you do not need to have put your energy into something to be considered your ma'isa. So if I light a fire, and that's a very phenomenal, powerful thing, that I can take a fire and do things with it, and I allow the fire then to spread, why isn't it called my that same thing as me releasing the energy into the arrow? I don't have to make the energy to release it. Person goes to the top of a building, tall building, he takes an item in his hand, not so fairly heavy, somebody down below, he goes up to the side of the building and he drops the ball. Bowling ball, yeah, right? Bowling ball. 8 pounds, right? No gersomyces. It falls down for 50 stories and it kills the person down below. Says, I didn't do it. Gravity did it. That's ridiculous. Why? Because I'm using the this type of energy called gravity, I'm using it by doing that action. So Rabbi Yochanan says, Eish is the same thing as that. So we're introducing a whole new sugi over here in Baba Kama Daf Chav Beis, a whole new concept that it does not have to be my energy to be considered that I'm Chayav. If there is a Chayav which exists in the Bria, and I'm using it to accomplish something, it's called I'm doing it. The more over there, Baba Kama, the more continuous that a person would consider a Ritzayach. He'd be Chayav Misa for lighting a fire in such a way that it would spread and kill somebody. It's considered the action of the person himself. We pass like a Berchera. We pass an Isha Mishum Chitza. So we've introduced a whole new. Now, let's go back and we have to figure out. So, what's in between that? And there's the Ari. There's a Kayak in the world called an Ari, you know. It's very dangerous, right? So, why is it not considered my Maisa? Or even more so, back on page 4, in the Mishnah, Shisa Bayas HaKelev, Shisa Bayas HaNachash is Potter. So if he sicks his dog on the person, so Mishnah says, and then the dog kills the person, the one who sicked the animal, one who was Mashasa him, one who convinced the animal to do it, is Potter.
Released it, or he made the dog do it?
Sounds like he incited it.
He incited it, right?
He encouraged the dog to do it?
Shisabai, right? He means he was the one who
sicked
it on. Yeah. So the Rosh says, 1 second, that's taking a kayak and using it. So the case was, it wasn't Bor Yezek. It wasn't for sure the animal would, even after you did this act of Shisui, it wasn't Vadi was going to do it. And in a case where it would be definite, the Mashasa would be chayiv. Because he's grappling with this question. It's not your kayak. It's the you don't have the power to take down this guy, but your mastiff, you know, your mastiff over here definitely has the kayak to do that. You're using the kayak of the animal to do that. The nachash, right? The nachash is able to do it. You're not able to do it. You're using the kayak of the nachash to do it by inciting the nachash. So the Rosh says, you're right. If the case would be that it would definitely go into heaven, that's not called grama. That's called maisa. I didn't do it. I used the kayak, which exists. That's the denomination of Shemchitzov. I don't have to, it doesn't have to be my kayak to do something. The more you think about the Morse case, the Morse says he confines him to a room where the sun is. I didn't kill him, the sun killed him. Right? The person says it's a room that he's opened out to, it's the middle of the desert, right? And it's an open area. He can't get out to get to the shade. I confine him to the room. The Morse says, if once the sun is there already, he's kayak. I didn't do it, the sun did it. I'm using the kayak of the sun to kill somebody. I'm using the kayak of the water to kill somebody. So the definition of maisa extends way beyond just my goof, way beyond my kayak. But when a person is going to take ownership of a kayak which exists in the Bria and use it to do something, that's called your maisa. What about there's multiple steps in the process? So the going back to the case of, okay, so... You know, the gun. His action is releasing the cock. That's his action. Releasing the hammer. That's all he's done. Which creates a spark, which causes the gunpowder to explode, which causes because it's the small area, it forces the bullet out. So he can arguably say, you know, I understand. I'll pay for the cost of the spark. That's not true. Once that's the system, and the system has multiple steps. Person's driving a car on Shabbos, right? He says, I just pressed the gas pedal. The gas pedal has a linkage to something which converts it into a cog which turns it this way, to another cog, to another cog, another cog. I didn't make do anything. I just pressed the gas pedal. That's the system. The system is all part of yours. So we're saying that, A, not only are you chayiv when you use the kayak which exists in the Bria, but even the kayak has multiple steps. The case of the Eish. Right? So the person which he's damaging, or the item which is damaging, is over there. He lights the fire over here. So the fire burns, and it continues to find fuel and burn and burn and burn and burn. We have to say that's all your mice. We would have said that's a problem, right? I lit the fire over here, and eventually the fire spread. So the Morse says it's with the Ruach Matsuya, which is a normal type of wind which is causing the spread. So that's not called drama. That's called what? That's how you use fire. That's what fire does. Lighting a fire is going to, the wind will move it, and the roof will, so you will move it. That's all called your maisa.
Is there a distinction between kayach rishon and kayach sheni?
So how that plays out vis-a-vis kayach rishon and kayach sheni is going to be a discussion. But yes, Rabbi Yochanan agrees that there is a kayach rishon and kayach sheni.
That there is a distinction.
Yes, there is.
How does this distinct from what the
Seif Chama Lavoi is because, so that's a very good question, a very important question. So, Anshul is asking, so, okay, so we're saying using a kayak which exists in the Bria is called your Maisa, and therefore you're going to be Chayiv. So, he takes the person, he ties him up, puts him in a place where, right now it's 5 o'clock in the morning, it's 4 o'clock in the morning, there's no sun over there. He ties him up over there, he says, you know, enjoy the cool for the next few hours, because it's going to get very hot later on. Okay, gets very hot later on, but at the end of the day, the person dies from the heat exhaustion. The Morse says, he's potter, it's a grama. What do you mean? He used the kayak of the sun to do that. So that where we see that to be chayiv, there has to be that you created a mazik. You created a mazik, or you're using a mazik which exists. If it doesn't exist yet, it's called a groma. So
maintained the tzimtzum.
What?
Number one is mitzamtzim, maintaining a person in a negative situation. So you maintained them in a negative situation at 4 a.m., which lasted till...
Because at 4 a.m. it wasn't negative yet, because the mazik wasn't here yet.
But you maintained it.
Correct. I maintained it, but it wasn't the negative situation yet in halacha. Because there's no mazik here. So that's regards to the definition of maisa versus grama. And halach, again, in logic, like Rambam says, Rebbe said, he goes to the same section of Gehenna. Right? We have no shayla where he belongs in Gehenna. That's not the shayla. Right? They just put him there early in the morning before the fire turns out. Right. Right, but in regards to the definition of one of the definitions of mazik or ritzeach is that the maisa has to, that the even the process can take a long time. The guy's in the sun for the next 12 hours. He's chay misa. He died after 12 hours, not after immediately. That but there has to be the sun is here ready. I light the fire now, right? So that's why if you look at page 11. So the Gemara says, the person took a coal, and liba tarabana liba belipsa haruach, that the coal was not an open flame, and he was blowing on it, and a wind came and it also blew on it, and that caused the coal to develop into an open flame, which then spread, etc. Im yesh milivuy of kenei lalaboy soichaya vim lav potter. If his personal act of blowing on it with the bellows or with his mouth was sufficient enough to make it into a flame which could then do the damage, he's chayiv. If he needs to use the wind to make it into that fire, he's potter. Comes Tosis. Tosis says over here, the main belief we have kedel, it's highlighted. The main belief we have kedel labos. Al bishagam beruach ein kedel labos. He can't do it on his own. The one can't do it on its own either. Still part. The mechayim mishum isha. The din of eish elim kain also called kach if neatzmoi. The person did enough on his own. Below siyua haruach or davar acher without something else helping him. Shiuchol lahazik beruach matsuya acher gemara ma'aseh shaloi. So I have to create the problem. Or if the problem exists, I have to take mastery of it and then use it. But if it doesn't exist yet, and I'm setting in motion a process which will make it happen, but I didn't do that, that's not chayiv. That's what Tosef says. So that's the gzeirus hakasam of Eish. And like it says in the pasuk, Dachimasha, Hamavir is Shalem Shalem, Hamavir is Habeiro. You made the fire. That you got to do yourself. Now, that's I'm stressing that, but that's not really fully correct. I'll tell you why in a second. But the fire, I made the fire on my own. Now the fire didn't use the Ruach Matsuya, Chayiv. But if I need the Ruach Matsuya to make the fire, I didn't make the fire, I'm not Chayiv, Tosis says.
The wind is blowing when you're doing it.
Then you're just... that's the case. Limor, Libra, 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 Ruach.
Force of gravity.
So that's why we. So the Morris Akash says, I understand. The Morris says, when a person would do Zara on Shabbos, he's going to be chayiv. What do you do with what Zara? You take the. You have the combination. After you've threshed it, you have the chaff, you have the grain. You throw it into the wind. The wind separates. The grain is heavier, falls down. The chaff is lighter, blows away. The wind separated for you and your chayiv on Shabbos. I didn't do it, the wind did it. So Morris says, so your chayiv over there. Some more goes to a few of them shotim. The final answer: Rashi Amar Kirmin and Zara Ruchsiyata. That's by Shabbos. Malachim Shabbos Asotar. Avlahacha Grama Baalmu Grama Nizikin Pot. So the Tosfos says this. You're sorry again. Using a kayak which exists, yes, Yechayiv. To do what? Once there's a mazik here to use, take advantage of the mazik of that kayak. That's called you. However, if I need a kayak to create the kayak, again, I'm not sure, I will tell you which section of Gehenna is going to go to. That's not the question. The definition of Maisa and Halacha, the Gabi Nezikin in Akai. The Kiddush of Isha Shemkitza requires that this step you do yourself. Now, stop for a second. There's a Tosis before, not in your booklet, I don't think. Yeah, on the Vav Amud Aleph. Tosis says there's no difference in Halacha, Isha Shemkitza, if you light the fire and the fire goes to the object, or the fire exists and you bring the object to the fire. So you didn't light the fire at all. You're still chayiv. Kaif of Kamasa Shachavera, Bifnei Adleika, there's a Dinamish Mishum Kitzav. Why? Because what's the difference if you bring the Aish to the object, to the object, to the Aish? So, again, the point is because the Aish already exists as a functioning mazik. And this is going to become this point, which we're touching on right now, where you draw that line. Again, I'm not discussing, you know, I can tell you what, you know, logic would tell us. Yeah, he's not a good guy. It's not the issue. The issue is it actionable in Bezdin? Will Bezdin punish you for this, make you pay for this or not? It has to be that there's something which exists. So I saw one Pesach, going back to the scenario which he was talking about, the Pesach who dealt with it. He said, I want to correct the case. Reuven's sensor, Reuven's field, Reuven's sensor. Shimon tripped the sensor. It damaged Levi's clothing. Right? So the question was Shimon chayer for what it did to Levi? Because he used his sound to make it happen. He says, over here, he's using the kayak of sound to create the mazik. The mazik doesn't exist yet. So he wanted to argue, which I think I disagree. I'll tell you why I disagree in a second. That since sound is not considered a maisis, it's a groma, means you made the mazik like a groma, but you need to make the mazik directly. That's what he wants to argue. So later on in the booklet, I gave you a few examples where halacha seems to see something which is voice activated. It's called maisa. The Gemara, page 19. So the Gemara has a case over here. Chosma b'kol, minhiga b'kol. So there's an issue in the term of losachim shor b'disha. You're not allowed to muzzle your ox while it is threshing. Animals have to be allowed. If you use an animal to thresh, to break apart the kernels from the stalks, so it's a great idea. Take your big heavy animal, step on it, it's going to break them apart. Good idea. The only problem is your animal sees lunch and it's going to eat some of it along the way. So the Torah says if you're going to use your animal, you cannot muzzle it, you must allow it to eat. What about if you do not physically muzzle it at all, but as it's about to put its head down, you scream at it and it stops eating? Your chos, what we call, you muzzled it by using sound. But the more discusses in regards to this sort of being maniklayim, you're leading two animals together, which are different species. It's usher. So he was maniklayim. He made them move. Two animals are standing there. They're holding on to a plow. That's not the issue. The issue is when you use it to plow or you use it to carry, move something, and to move the wagon. See, he said, "Gee," and they start running. They start moving. He was manik it b'kol. Shabbat Shalom says chayiv. Because that's considered. We have a rule by Malchus. Lav shein by Maisa. Ain't like a love. You don't get Malchus for doing an Aveira not through Maisa. So the moral, yeah. So, Rechamer, Chayiv, Akimas Piv, Havi Maisa. Using speech is called your Maisa.
Mechamer,
let's see Mechamer for now.
Does that mean that speech is a Maisa? Or just the fact that you moved your mouth? That's the Maisa that you did. So, you can't say it's the people of Maisa. It wasn't just the like.
It's a fair question. It is a fair question. So you look back at page 18. So the same Rabbi Yerkeron, the Rishonim say that the two go together. So Rabbi Yerkeron says that the more discusses the Lashem HaMaisa, you don't get Malchus, with some exceptions. What's some exceptions? One of the exceptions is Tamura, person that does Tamura. He tries to exchange one animal hektish to another animal hektish, so both become kurdish, and he gets malchus for doing that. Slavshem amaisa. And Rabbi Yerchan, Lotano Lotani Tissim Meimer, Mishim Dibibur, Dibiburoi Osa Maisa. Because your Dibur accomplished something, so therefore it's considered maisa. There's a Rambam, the Rambam says a person is maktish abalmum. Is this the term being maktish abalmum? Do you get malchus being maktish abalmum? Rambam says yes. Because when you're a Makdish, it becomes Kurdish. So the result is a full Maisa, so that's considered Maisa. So making something through Kohl, multiple places indicate that that's considered your Maisa. So making this machine work, it's not called Groma, it's called Maisa. So I made the Mazik, now the Mazik did something, I'm going to be Chai. So, but if you consider Dibur not considered direct, so even though the machine is doing it, but the one who made the machine do it did it on a groma. That's the choices in Baba Kama and Dav Samach, that's not Chayiv. That's why Paskin. So again, the issue here is not necessarily, I'm not getting involved in the what makes sense to me and what makes sense to me logically. We have a rule of the definition of this chiddush that you can use a koyach and be held culpable for it requires a tanai. The tanai, which the Tosfos is saying, and all the Rishonim say it as well, is that the step of making it into a mazik has to be done by the person, or if it exists already as a mazik, and I'm bringing the item to the eish, be the same thing, right? Because it already exists as a mazik, potential mazik. But over here, it's the sensor is not doing anything yet. You need sound to make it into a mazik. If you consider a sound is considered your direct ma'isa, I made a mazik. If not, I did it like any groma, so then I'm not going to be chayav for that which it does. Rabbi, thank you for listening.